Okay, I'm with Christelle Labacan. Hopefully, I said that your name right. Gone Too Soon is the short film. She's from Australia. Obviously, a very personal film about your son. Correct? This is basically a love story about your son. Correct?
Yes, it's a film that a short film that was done after my son accident. Talking about what a parents bury parents go through, I guess, to expose it, I would say.
So obviously I can't imagine a worse thing that could happen to someone who was a parent myself. So this is just a heartbreaking film. I've seen it a couple of times. I cry every time I see it. So you definitely tug the heartstrings. What would he think of the film if he's able to watch the film?
Alexei always dreamed to be an actor. I guess all the kids dream of that at some point. But he started to appear in some of the Australian TV series, and he did some ads, and he loved the television. And I think he would be very proud to that we talk about him and that we exposed his story. So it's also part of why I made this short movie for him.
For him, so then before, therefore his, I guess his legacy is here forever, because anybody wants to talk, like, know about him, all you have to do is watch this short film, I guess. Correct?
That's right. That's right.
So tell me about the making of the film. Just so I'm curious about the footage. Well, how did you capture the, where did this footage come from? How is the footage captured? Because it's,
Well,
the water is your theme, I guess, right? Water, ocean is your theme, life.
yeah, we are family of water people. We all went to the beach every single weekend for water sport. And when that tragedy happened, being part of the Jewish community in Sydney here, people are very all together. And from one person to another, that gentleman, Adam, decided that, it will be a good idea to do a short movie, because the aim of it is to, for a bigger production to take on board the project of making perhaps a full-on documentary about understanding and how to support a griever and to try to break the taboo. So Adam, who has a small production company here in Sydney, asked one of his colleague if he was on board at a very good price, I would say, to film and to come in our home for a couple of days and do that documentary. And I know it was challenging for Adam, and also challenging for the cameraman, because it was a lot of crying, a lot of emotion, a
Yeah.
lot of raw moment that had to be captured. It's not something that we rehearsal and that we shoot one, shoot two, shoot three. It was as it was. And I guess the guys expressed how good of a good outcome, say good, but it was a good experience for them to be involved in that filmmaking. So thanks to them.
So the footage itself is home, obviously, like videos that we're taking of him. And obviously there's the footage of yourself looking straight into the camera. And what
Yeah.
other footage did you capture for the film itself? Did you like go on the ocean? Did you, like, I guess they call it B-roll or stock, or like, where did you go out and shoot new additional footage to kind of put the film together?
Yeah, we went early morning at the beach to try to capture the sunrise, and because it's something we love, that time of the day where the water is calm and the sun is coming up. Hopefully there is not too many sharks at that time too. And I also spoke and asked one of the other bereaved mother to come and be part of that shooting, just to show some support from other parents. Because if I can go back on why did I make that film, it's also because people don't realize how lonely it is when you become a bereaved parent. And we need to break the taboo. And that person had exactly the same thought of me, the loneliness, the people not coming back to see you anymore because it's an uncomfortable situation and they don't know what to say, they don't know what to do. So this is what we try to show in that, in that movie, and it's all done in our own home. showing that, you know, dinner is difficult because we used to put four plates and we only put three plates now. So all these little things are the reality of someone who loses a child.
Just from it was a very interesting choice where you the film starts in the ocean, and we get to see like a very like kind of spiritual your son in a very spiritual way in the like kind of I guess and so then you're in the voiceover, so we see you in a, hear you in a voiceover, and you're talking about your son, and then a minute into the film we see you're like a, there's a close-up shot of you looking straight into the camera. So it's like we I'm assuming when I'm watching the film for the first time that you're we're just going to hear you in a voiceover. There's going to be a little bit of separation with you, and then it just becomes so intense because you're like you know 25% of the film is you looking straight into the camera telling us your journey. Whose choice was that to do that? And I'm just curious about that interesting, because it's a from a filmmaking standpoint it's a fantastic choice, because it's really effective, and it everybody's attention is right on you. So I'm just curious about who made that choice.
Well, I guess this was Adam, the film producer, who decided to shoot that way and that way. I'm not in a film industry. I don't necessarily have the knowledge on how to, you know, capture moments. But one thing is sure is it was only two guys and me. So there was not, you know, being uncomfortable in front of camera or, you know, I'm going to close the door here, being uncomfortable in front of the camera or, you know, it was raw. It was at home. It was in the best comfort situation that I could find. It was not in a public. I did not have to face anyone. So talking about, you know, on the camera, it was like trying to explain, not to one person only, but to the world or to as many people who would like to listen to it, what I'm living on a daily basis.
And then, so then they just, so someone just got a camera and just you just spoke your mind. Did you know exactly what you were going to say in the film, or you how's go ahead?
You know, it's not this type of subject is to talk about such a deep subject, deep situation. You need to have lived it to be able to wonder what questions should be asked, what should be say, and so on. So most of the questions came from me. Most of the things I said, it's because I said to Adam, we should talk about this. We should, you know, bring my friend Nikki on board, who has lost also a child. We should do that. We should do this. Now, the way the pictures were taken, the, you know, the film was made, that was more Adam than me. Me, I was just talking and, you know, leaving it. The rest, I let, you know, credit to Adam, because this is his job and this is what I think he did very well too.
And do you remember how long, like I'm sure there's a lot of things that you said that didn't make the cut of the film. It's just that like who kind of like would you in the editing room, did you watch yourself talk?
No.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the first question was that I said to Adam, do people understand me? Because obviously I'm French background. English is not my first language. So I just wanted to make sure that my voice was clear to people, that they could understand what I was talking. And because if you cannot understand what I'm saying, you're not going to get the message, I guess. But it was, you know, to make the short movie, we did not film for hours and hours, let me tell you, because for me, it's emotionally, it was very, very difficult. So the days may have been long when we on these 3 days, because we had to go to the beach and we had to set up the camera. But the talking, we pretty much put everything we wanted to talk about in the movie, in the film. It was, we did not cut too much. We did not, you know, change much of what was said. So it's only 8 minutes. This is why I would like to make an hour documentary about bereavement. Yeah.
So you like the theme of your film is about breaking the stigma of bereavement. Yeah. What do you mean by that? You said you even have it at the end of your film. It's like you want to break the stigma. What do you mean by? I'm assuming that's what you want to make the feature film about. What do you mean by that?
You know, it's not normal in between bracket in 2023 to bury your child. Your parents should go first, then you go, then your kids. Unfortunately, that is reality. You know, what we see on TV, that everybody can be revived and brought back to life. This is not reality, what we see on the TV. Only 5% of people who the doctor tried to bring back to life, only 5% make it. So a lot of kids, unfortunately, pass away. But because in our society, it's considered as abnormal, if I can use that word, people don't know how to deal with it. People on the outside don't know how to talk to me, are scared of, you know, me crying if they mention anything. So people bail off, people run away. And that is the reality of what we go through most of the time. I'm not going to say 100%, but many parents will tell you the same thing. Even your good friends tend to go to leave you because it's an uncomfortable situation. We will never be the same people. Half of me died that day. You know, that is the reality. And for a lot of people knowing me before, knowing the strong person I was and how, you know, crazy and loud and funny and all of that, person is not there anymore. And it put people on the outside in a very awkward situation. And that doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to, you know, to be so uncomfortable for them. And I often tell them, if you are uncomfortable with my situation, try to be in my shoes for half a second and imagine how uncomfortable I am too. Because if you just the thought of seeing me makes you uncomfortable, I live with that 24/7. So don't be the victim here. We need support, and we need, you know, people to hold our hand.
But how do you want people to be? Like, do you want them to be exactly like they were with you before? You want them to joke with you? You want, like, that's, I guess, that, I know it's not a fair question. I'm just saying that that's like, you're saying that you want them not to be uncomfortable, but you just, like, how would you want someone to be like, to communicate with you?
You know, nothing is normal in her family anymore. Her lifestyle has changed. Her personality has changed. But we still want people who did care, or, you know, who did care for us, our good friends, to be around and to try to bring some type of normality to her life. So if you were a coffee friend, because you don't do water sport, but we used to go for coffee together on a weekly basis, keep sending that invitation. Okay. Maybe for the first 6 months, I would say, no, I can't. But maybe one day I would say, you know what? I may come next week.
So don't give up, basically. Don't
give up and be understanding and respectful of the way we have become, because we are very vulnerable. We can cry at any moment. We can lose it at any moment. We can say no at any moment, because we're so consumed by the loss of our child that it's not a smooth road like it used to be before. But if you understand a bit more what we are going through, what I'm going through, you will, you know, understand better, and it may put you a bit more, you know, at ease to see us. And this is what I want to, you know, and if you don't know what to say, because a lot of people, oh, I don't know what to say, I don't want to upset her. If you don't know what to say, just say it, you know. You can come to me and say, I still want, can I pop in for a coffee? And you come and you just say, you know, I'm so sorry for you. I'm here for you. I don't know what to say. I don't have the word. I can't, but I'm there. I'm here for you. That's it.
Gotcha.
You don't have to pretend you know the answer. There is no answer. You can't fix it, you know, either.
I grew up in a family where it was like, let's pretend it didn't happen. So that's probably even worse. I'm sure you've had that before too. We're like, I don't even want to talk about this. So let's just pretend, let's just have a normal conversation and pretend that this didn't happen. But that's not, you can't do that either, right? You can't have, there's gotta be a new way, a new middle ground, I guess.
Yeah, and don't be scared if we mention the name of our child.
Yeah.
Because you have a child in a physical form, I still have two children, one in a physical form, one in a spiritual form. But I still am still a mother of two, and that will be for the rest of my life. So I may, during a discussion, you may say to me, oh, my older son had a swimming carnival at school and he won it. And I may say to you, oh my God, I remember when Lexi was 3 or 5, he went to the swimming pool, he could not even swim. Don't be afraid, because I still have story about
I'll talk
my son.
About, yeah, like the, yeah, that he's still there. No, yeah, yeah.
Don't push me to force about it if I don't want to talk about it. But if it comes in a discussion, just acknowledge it. Yeah, that's right. I remember that time. Or oh, that was so funny. And, you know, don't pretend that nothing happened, or my son did not exist, or because that is very hurtful.
That's also. Yeah, that's sort of what, yeah, that's exactly it. Just to keep it alive. Also too, there's the interesting aspect, and is about, like, you have a son, another child, and you have a there's the father as well. So you have to keep that relationship, of course, changes, but it's still there. It still needs to keep evolving as well, despite the loss of that child. You know what I mean? Like that's an interesting kind of story that's not really talked about in movies as well.
Yeah, it's, I will start by saying that I'm separated from Lexi's and Theo's father, but we have a very good friendship and relationship. So my new 7 years partner was also here the day of the accident. But the reality is many, many couples do not survive such a tragedy. We surviving it, perhaps because it's also... because he's not the father, the biological father of my son. So maybe he's stronger than what I am. But when I see Lexi's father, we cry and cry and cry. And when I speak to the other couple who have also lost a child, their relationship is very, very different. They're hanging on. Their sex life is basically non-existent, because how can you, when you have been crying all day, or you know, you're so upset all the time. And their relationship with their other children is also different, because you're so deeply consumed by your child who passed that it's very difficult to, I find it very difficult to give love to anyone else. It's like all my love goes to Lexi, and I know I should not, and I'm working on it, but we so consume. Parents, father and mother grieve very, very differently. And that is also where the clash can happen. Because if you grieve differently, you're not necessarily understanding the way the other person is grieving. And that brings a lot of pressure in a relationship.
Yeah, well, I've heard that from experience, is that sometimes blame is, like, sometimes they want to, there's like that blame, you're blaming somebody else, blaming yourself. It's like you have to move past that as well, the guilt, I guess, too, right?
Yeah, and that was something very difficult, because Lexi had his accident while he was under my care.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate that Sid, Lexi's father, did not blame me for anything. But in some relationship, I'm sure it happened, even so. It's no one's fault. You know, an accident is an accident, but it's very hard to live with that.
Yeah. No, like, is this something that you want to touch on in the larger version of the film, like the feature version of the film?
Definitely talking about the way relationship changes also after such a tragedy. I will probably not, speak about the blame, because every situation is different and people have different belief and religion, and so they behave differently towards blaming. But definitely talking about the guilt, own guilt, because people who lose a child from society.
Blame is guilt, right? So yeah.
Sorry.
Blame and guilt are like in the same like kind of category. Yeah.
Yeah, but blaming, you blame someone else or you blame yourself. The guilt is on yourself.
Gotcha.
It's different, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand. I'm just saying it's in the, yeah, I understand what you're saying. So in the, but in the future, do you want to bring other parents into the film and talk about this? Because it'll be, I'm assuming it'll be more of a thematic film, like where this film is about Lexi. It's his journey, his story. But then you're in the larger film, it's going to be about like a deeper, like a macro issue. It's going to be something beyond, you know, learning or moving on from a death like this.
Yeah, you know, the aim, my aim in that movie would be to speak to different bereaved parents, someone who lost a child from cancer at birth, a stillborn child, someone who lost a child by suicide or murder and murder, miscarriage, and, you know, and slow early dementia, juvenile, you know, where you start grieving the day the diagnosis come on, and see if there is any similarity in the grief. And I'm sure there will be, like I said before, maybe the guilt, how the life changed, but also how we can expose the truth to the public, how they can help us to go forward in our journey. But I also want to bring some light at the end of it. How
Yeah.
did Paul were able to put one foot in front of the other? What legacy have they done? What religion or spirituality journey are they on that helped them? And through that movie, I think it will also help me, because even so, I talk about it and I want to present it, I need some healing too.
No, that was my last question was that is it there's a therapeutic aspect to making these films, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only to for Lexi, but also for me to understand that it is possible to see a bit of light. And also it's possible to live with grief and joy altogether. And that is something very hard. But when you have managed and mastered that, I think your life may be a bit more at peace. Even so, the grief will always be the same, and a bit more joy maybe will be coming in our home.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for your time for the conversation and for making this film. I know you didn't really want to make the film like it's it, ideally, but it's a fantastic piece of work and the two of you your collaborator did a fantastic job. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the feature film. So I'm assuming you're working on it now, so why don't we can talk again when the feature film's made.
Yeah, and if someone wants to bring, help me to make it, please.
Well, you can go, we'll have a link to the website, superlexlex.com, and then people can learn more about it. And yeah, and they can be involved if they want to be involved, I guess, right?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hasenbemp Incorporated.